It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show. For the last several years around this time of year, we've talked about Colorado Gives Day, which this year is on Tuesday, December 8th. We'll talk a little bit more detail about Colorado Gives Day in just a minute. Out of Colorado Gives Day over the last few years has come Mountain West Gives. It's a collaboration of local nonprofits from Aspen to Parachute that have kind of gotten together, and they actually have a separate but connected website, mountainwestgives.org. And if you go there, you can kind of see the short list of local charities to us that are part of Colorado Gives Day. Joining us today, Beth Weisong, the executive director of the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, and Michaela Eidhammer from the Aspen Youth Center. Just a couple of the 51 local nonprofits that are part of Colorado Gives Day this year, and of course, Mountain West Gives. So to go back, Colorado Gives Day was started years ago by the Community First Foundation, and basically they put up $1 million every year. They say nonprofits go out, get as many donations on this day as you can get, depending on how much nonprofits bring in on Tuesday, December 8th this year, they'll get a portion of that $1 million. So it's basically a way to stretch your donation a little bit further. The cool thing is, through ColoradoGives.org and MountainWestGives.org, you can actually pledge your donation for the entire year. As long as you do it on December 8th, it counts for that day. So if, say, you want to give, I don't know, $10 a month, you know, I know that in the nonprofit realm, obviously, big donations are very welcome, but every little bit helps, and it's that community support that helps you actually apply for and receive grants. Beth, let's start with you from the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. This is actually kind of a unique program, and I've never heard about either one of these really before, so it'd be interesting to find out more. So, first of all, who is Andy Zanka? I assume that this program is named after someone.
Yeah, Thanks, Gabe, for having us this morning. Andy Zanka was a youth DJ at KDNK Community Access Radio. And Andy Zanka was the first youth DJ who started when he was 9 years old. And he was a DJ at KDNK until he was 21. And unfortunately, he died by suicide in the year 2000. And his sister began the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program so that any student in the Valley could get on the radio at no cost. So we've been in existence for 20 years at KDNK, and the program is run in Andy's honor.
What an interesting story. Do you have any idea how many young people have been on the air through the program?
We don't have numbers for the exact for in the last 20 years, but we can guess that we've worked with over 3,000 to 4,000 kids within our 20 year. I began collecting numbers when I began with the organization about 8 years ago, and now we work with about 120 kids regularly on the radio per year, and we collaborate with schools from Aspen to Parachute to put kids on the radio that way as well. And we work with, on average, in non-COVID times, we work with about over 1,200 kids per year through collaboration with schools to put kids on the radio and provide an authentic audience for their schoolwork. So right now, we work with about, I would say, 1,500 kids per year on average. So providing a great opportunity for kids to get their voices heard in the community.
When you say you work with them, Beth, talk about, are you just giving them a voice, giving them an outlet so that they can go on the air? Are you actually giving them some kind of like public speaking training or that kind of thing?
Yeah, thanks. So we have multiple programs that we run. In the KD&K listener world, we're well known for our youth radio music shows. We have 6 hours of youth radio programming on KD&K per week. So we have a music show on Sunday afternoon, Monday afternoon, and Thursday evening, where the kids produce their own music show. They engineer the soundboard. They learn public speaking skills. They gain confidence. They explore new music, and they get mentorship from our instructors while on the radio. We also have a youth news team that meets weekly. It's a group of middle school students that we meet once a week at the radio station to produce a monthly public affairs show. Right now, we have a small group of 6 students who work with our news team instructor, and they produce shows about all different topics. In October, they talked about mental wellness. And this month, I believe, you know, I don't know what they're talking about this month, but they always come up with great topics to explore and present to the community. And then I talked a little bit about our classroom collaborations. We put students on the air that way by just recording poems and essays and public service announcements that they create with their teachers in school. And then we also just recently started diving into the podcasting realm. And we have kids creating podcasts with our project coordinator. So we have a lot going on and lots of different ways that kids can use their voice in the community.
What age range are the kids that you're working with?
We've started as young as 7 years old, and we work with kids all the way until they graduate. And, you know, some kids stay with us after graduation and do internships. And right now we have a college student that stayed with us and is interning. And also we've had one of our staff members was a DJ. So we don't really kick kids away from us. We try to keep them engaged as long as they want to be involved and give them employment opportunities after they graduate the program. So we say 8 to 18, but we'll go as low as 7 years old. If kids can read, it's helpful, and they can come and experience radio as young as 6 or 7.
Again, that's Beth Weisong, Executive Director of the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. 20 years. Congratulations. 20 years is a big milestone for any organization.
Thank you.
Again, and that's one of the organizations that you can help support on Colorado Gives Day, Tuesday, December 8th. Again, easiest way to go about this is go to mountainwestgives.org. That'll take you. There will be a list. You can actually search by local nonprofits. You can search any number of ways. You can search by zip code. You can search by town, you know, towns that these organizations are active. And you can also search by area. So if you're interested in children's nonprofits, you can search for that. Obviously, you're going to find, among others, Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program and Aspen Youth Center. And then you can schedule your donation. So that's the other cool thing about Colorado Gives Day. Even though the day is December 8th, you can actually schedule that donation today if you want, and it still counts. You can make a pledge to spend a certain amount each month over the next year, and it still counts as long as you schedule it to start on December 8th. Again, it's all because of the Community First Foundation's $1 million seed money, I guess you might say, that they put up every year. And again, the amount of that, the percentage of that $1 million that goes to the local charities depends on how much is donated on Tuesday, December 8th. Again, the website is mountainwestgives.org. We'll talk a little bit more about that and the process. Plus, there's a big local, I can't really call it an event, but I guess it kind of is. It's just not an in-person thing. There we go. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the Aspen Youth Center when we come back. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking about Colorado Gives Day, Tuesday, December 8th, and more specifically, Mountain West Gives, a coalition of local nonprofits getting together to try and increase local donations. Again, we heard from Beth Weisong, the executive director of the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, in the first segment. Michaela Eidhammer from the Aspen Youth Center is here today as well. And Michaela, when we were chatting just a little bit before we got started today, you mentioned that actually through the Aspen Youth Center, you share a lot of kids. You introduce a lot of kids to Andy Zanka.
Yeah, I mean, our goal is, you know, so Aspen Youth Center is dedicated to providing a safe and supportive place where youth connect, learn, and grow during their out-of-school hours. So after school, summer, Christmas break, you know, different teacher work days, snow days, all those things. But another goal is to connect them to resources in the community, whether that be being on the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program and getting the opportunity to learn about that, or you know, in the current times, when is the next food drive? You know, when can they go pick up food, or mental health support, or riding with windwalkers? You know, we try to really, we are not all things to all youth, but we can connect them to all the wonderful resources we have in this community. Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, woo, lots of words, being one of them. So yeah, the kids love it. The kids love participating in that program.
What is your area of operation? Obviously, Aspen is in the title, so I can assume that probably Aspen area to start with.
Yeah, so we're located inside the Aspen Recreation Center. We are very fortunate to essentially, in a very complicated way, own a condo inside a city building. So we have a 6,200 square foot space here inside the rec center. And we serve kids from Aspen to Parachute. Obviously, during the summer, we see more Down Valley kids, I-70 corridor kids. And during the school year, we see mostly Aspen and Picken County youth. However, anybody is welcome as long as they have graduated third grade and through 12th grade. In the current times, our numbers are obviously restricted, and we are offering supervised learning and after-school programs. So we do begin at 8:30 in the morning and we close at 6 p.m. So the days have been a bit longer, but we're trying to serve the community in ways that are needed. And we work closely with Aspen Family Connections, the city of Aspen, lots of families here who parents need to go to work, and they need their kids to be somewhere. So right now, that's our top priority, is to continue with the supervised learning and the after school, keeping these kids engaged and safe, but also giving them a sense of normalcy. This is all obviously very different and strange for everyone. But trying to give kids that opportunity to still do art class. And we do Mythbusters, mad science classes, and we play ping pong and pool. And we've been doing cooking classes safely, of course, but it, you know, trying to give that sense of normalcy in this very irregular time. So.
And I'm guessing there's probably an age limit, so I can't sign up for the Mythbusters stuff.
No, sorry.
It was worth a try. You mentioned that one of the criteria is must have graduated third grade. Are there any other prerequisites to be involved in the Aspen Youth Center?
No, you know, we kind of joke that you just have to be human and done with third grade. So it's pretty broad. Right now, we are obviously restricted to our numbers, so we do need youth to sign up. The supervised learning we do does have a small fee. However, no one will be turned away. We have scholarships, we have private donors, grants, Aspen Family Connections that are helping cover the costs of the youth who cannot afford it but need a place to be. So, you know, essentially it's all no cost if it needs to be. And then we ask, obviously, if you are able to pitch in anything for the supervised learning and you are using it, that we ask that you pay for some of it. But if you can't, we understand, because this is different for everyone.
Sure. Right. Absolutely. Different for everyone. in a specific way and in a very general way in 2020. Obviously, today we're focusing on Colorado Gives Day and the local coalition Mountain West Gives. Again, mountainwestgives.org. But I'm sure each of you have websites for your organization where if anyone is listening right now and they'd either like to support you directly, which of course is fine, or they'd like to get their kids involved with either one of your organizations, what are your websites? Michaela, I'll start with you since we've been chatting.
Yeah, our website is aspenyouthcenter.org.
Well, that makes it pretty simple. And then Beth, pretty what simple. About Andy Zanka?
Yeah, since our name is a mouthful, like Michaela said, we're azyep.org. So Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program.org, A-Z-Y-E-P. And there, our donate button goes directly to Colorado Gives. So that's a really easy way to get straight to our donation page.
Perfect. Again, the website is mountainwestgives.org. That will take you straight to a portal of coloradogives.org specific to our area. So Aspen to Parachute, again, 51 nonprofit organizations that are part of Mountain West Gives. One of the coolest things about Colorado Gives Day is the fact in order to, I'm sure Michaela and Beth could tell you all about this process. In order to be part of Colorado Gives Day, each one of the nonprofits has to go through a very intense vetting process. You don't just send in your name and your website and your bank account information and then you start getting the donations through Colorado Gives. It's a lengthy application to be included. So for the consumer, for the person, the donor, if you're making a donation to any one of these, your chances of giving to a great local nonprofit that does what they say they're going to do and that takes a good fiscal care of those donations is greatly improved. I think that's one of the coolest things about Colorado Gives Day. Beth, it's like a 30-page application, isn't it, to be part of Colorado Gives Day?
You know, that's what I hear. I'll let Michaela speak about it more. I didn't go through the application process. My predecessor did. But I do know that every year I am asked to renew our information and keep it very current and very up to date. And like you said, a pretty big vetting process to make sure that we are who we say we are and where the money is going. So Michaela, do you want to speak about the application a little bit more?
Yeah, I think a lot of nonprofits are a little weary in the first year because the first year is the toughest year because you have to do everything from scratch. Everything is starting from, you know, you've never looked at it before and you're starting over. And it's basically writing a grant. But the cool thing is that it is all digital. So you update each of your tabs. It asks for, you know, your board members, your staff, your mission, photos, your financial statements. And then there's a little bit of a lag and they wait and review all your information and see what checks out and what, if anything, doesn't. Luckily, I think ours has always checked out, so we've never been contacted, but I do believe they contact you if something doesn't check out or if you upload something wrong or whatever. And then you are approved and your site will go live so you can accept donations on that page. Each year there are deadlines for various deadlines to ensure that you're up so that your website can be ready for Colorado Gives Day. It's usually by August 31st. So you have to have this in, you know, a few months before Colorado Gives Day even happens. And I think it's a really interesting and cool way for people to know that their money is going where they think it's going. I mean, I appreciate that. I donate to a lot of different organizations as well. And if I don't know your organization at all and I can't find anything about it, I do get a little like, oh, you know, what's going on there? Why isn't there up-to-date information? Or maybe they're new or I don't know. But I do think it gives a sense of security that your money is going to the right place and the right cause.
And again, it's not a one-time thing. It's an annual thing. As Beth mentioned, you have to continually update that information so that they do follow up. It's not, it's one time and then you're in for life. They do follow up on an annual basis in different areas, not the entire application, but they continue to update that and verify that information is correct and accurate. So again, anybody on that list has gone through that process and continues to go through that process. I think that from the donor standpoint, it is a great way to know that you're giving to a good charity that's doing what they say they're going to do.
Yeah. And I would say that from a nonprofit perspective, it's a great thing to be involved in too, despite the long process to get involved. There's a sense of camaraderie through Colorado Gives, and it really is a great place to see what everyone is doing from a nonprofit perspective involved. There are ways to get involved, and I encourage people in the Valley, if you're connected with a nonprofit, find out if they're in Colorado Gives. If you're a supporter, make sure that they're aware of it so that that nonprofit can get involved. Andy's Inca is a very small nonprofit, and there are smaller nonprofits and really large nonprofits that are involved. So it's just a great place where the Valley can be represented as nonprofits.
And from an industry standpoint, I imagine you would probably appreciate, it's not really oversight, but the vetting process. I think any industry likes to know that they're on a level playing field. And so by everyone going through this same process, you have an idea that you're all following the same rules and all of that as well. Again, the website is mountainwestgives.org. That is the local coalition of 51 nonprofits from Aspen to Parachute. And again, you can learn more about each one of them. They each have a separate page, if you will, with a little bit of a narrative that explains what they do. And again, they all go through that same process from Colorado Gives. Colorado Gives Day is Tuesday, December 8th, but you can go online anytime, pledge your donation on December 8th, and it still counts as long as you schedule it for that day. You can even schedule it out through the entire year if you want to make a small donation each month moving forward, depending on what your particular situation is. Again, that's mountainwestgives.org, and I'll give you the two websites for Andy Zanka and Aspen Youth Center toward the end of the program today. As I mentioned, a little bit of an event coming up too, a Honk and Wave event, and we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking with Michaela Eidhammer from the Aspen Youth Center and Beth Weisong, the executive director of Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. Again, both part of the Mountain West Gives Coalition, 51 nonprofits between Aspen and Parachute. You want to learn more about those, go to mountainwestgives.org. Again, it's part of Colorado Gives Day, which is Tuesday, December 8th. This year. And in order to raise awareness, aside, of course, from talking to us today, you've got some Honk and Wave events coming up. I think I heard you say it's a Monday and Tuesday that week.
Yeah. So we are, in order to raise awareness about Colorado Gives Day, each community is hosting a Honk and Wave in specific locations on Tuesday, December 8th from 7 to 8:30 a.m. along Grand Avenue in Glenwood Springs. People are going to be waving and honking and showing signs for nonprofits from Glenwood in front of Sayre Park. And then in Carbondale, the same, Tuesday the 8th from 8:30 to 9:30 along the sidewalk in front of First Bank and City Market on Highway 133. And then in Aspen, they'll be meeting on Monday morning, December 7th from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. in front of the sidewalk on Highway 82 before the roundabout in Aspen. And then in Rifle and still in Newcastle, it's still to be determined. So hopefully there'll be a honk and wave in that part of the valley, down valley. Hopefully there'll be an event in Rifle as well. All of these places will be showing Colorado Gives Day signs and showing banners from some of the 51 nonprofits that are involved. And the whole concept is to raise awareness and remind people about Gives Day on December 8th.
Again, that's 8:30 to 9:30 in Carbondale in front of First Bank on Highway 133.
You're muted.
Again, that's Carbondale on from 8:30 to 9:30 in front of First Bank on Highway 133. In Aspen from 8:30 to 9:30 on Highway 82 before the roundabout. And then along Grand Avenue in front of Sayre Park, Beth, you said from 7 to 8:30?
Yep, on Tuesday the 8th.
Okay, yeah,
all of them will be on Tuesday the 8th, except for Aspen. Aspen, where Michaela will be meeting at 8:30 to 9:30 on Monday.
That's right, so Monday the 7th. Yeah. All right, and again, the website is mountainwestgives.org. Maybe if you've decided you want to give something on Colorado Gives Day on December 8th, but you don't know which nonprofit you'd like to give to, you can search by area of influence. So if you search for kids charities, obviously you'll come up with, among others, Aspen Youth Center, as well as Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program. We're kind of focusing on these two today because they're the two that are here. Again, there are 51 nonprofits in our area. Now, I suppose there's an outside chance that you want to support some nonprofit that has an area of influence that is not represented in our area. I can't imagine what that would be. But if that's the case, then you can also, you know, go to ColoradoGives.org and search for that and find something that matches whatever your personal passion is, your personal philosophies about what you would like to support in terms of a nonprofit. Again, the reason why it's Colorado Gives Day is because the Community First Foundation puts up this $1 million of incentive money, and they say, okay, Colorado nonprofits, go out, get donations on this day. We'll tally everything up. And as a proportion of the money that's brought in on Colorado Gives Day, they will divvy up that $1 million. So it helps stretch your dollar a little bit more if you want to donate. Again, you can schedule that donation at any time. Just go to mountainwestgives.org and you can do it right now. And schedule it for December 8th and go from there.
Yeah. And something really cool that I think is nice for donors is that instead of going to a bunch of different websites, you can go to one and create a checkout. And when you're done, when you've picked your one or 10 or 30 or however many nonprofits you want to donate to, you can check out all at one time. So you type in all your information one time. I know that there are times of the year when you're like, oh, I want to give to these different organizations. I wish I could do this. And it's really lovely because you can on the Colorado Gives website. And I do want to give like a shout out to First Bank and Community First Foundation, because since its inception, they've raised this Colorado Gives Day has raised $257 million for local nonprofits in the state of Colorado, which is phenomenal. It's, if I'm correct, I think it's one of the most successful Gives Days that any state has. And First Bank and Community First Foundation, really, I mean, mad props to them for making this a possibility and also helping us come together, because there's power in those numbers. There's power when we work together. And that's how Mountain West Gives came about. Each community can have a regional champion, and Mountain West Gives is our regional champion, because in our valley, obviously, we have a three county, we cross over three different counties, whereas some counties have a Gives Day just for their county or just for their area. Ours was a little unique, and that's why it's called Mountain West Gives. So that regional champion really just helps us pool our resources to do these kinds of interviews, to put thing, you know, to go out and stand and do our honk and waves, to put ads in the paper, because together we can get through, we can get out the word out so much better than if we individually try to do this with our own, probably pretty small marketing budgets. So I know I'm appreciative of Colorado Gives Day, but also of the Mountain West Gives Coalition for being, you know, bringing us all together to make this possible.
You know, as many times as I do similar interviews every year, there's always something I forget. And the shopping cart kind of concept is something I forgot to mention. Yeah. So like Michaela said, it's awesome. So if you wanted to support children's nonprofits, since that's kind of where we're focusing today, you could go to Aspen Youth Center, pledge $100 a month for them starting on December 8th. $100 a month to Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program. And then if you wanted to add one more, I suppose the highest profile might be Youth Zone. I don't know. There are lots of kid-oriented nonprofits in our area. You add all of those, you go to your shopping cart, and it's one transaction to coloradogives.org. And so it makes reconciling a lot easier at the end of each month when you're looking back through that. And so it's very handy. And again, the local coalition, the local champion organization, is Mountain West Gives. That website, mountainwestgives.org.
Yeah, and I also wanted to mention, if you are needing tax letters as far as your donation, you can instantly get those tax letters for the end of the year reconciliation of your books too. So that's a really convenient aspect. You don't need to wait on the nonprofit to get you a letter in the mail. It goes through the Colorado Gives website and they instantly send you a letter for tax purposes if that's something you are concerned with.
And there's another benefit for the local nonprofits as well. You know, you always want to keep your administrative costs as low as possible. And while you're happy to write those letters, it is one thing you don't have to worry about when you're part of Colorado Gives Day. Again, Colorado Gives Day is Tuesday, December 8th this year. Again, they'll be raising awareness so you know when this happens. They'll be doing honk and wave events on Tuesday the 8th from 7:30 to 8:30 along Grand Avenue in front of Sayre Park in Glenwood. Same day, 8:30 to 9:30 in Carbondale in front of First Bank. And then the day before, on Monday the 7th on Highway 82, right before the roundabout from 8:30 to 9:30. Again, the website is mountainwestgives.org. You can learn more about all of the 51 local nonprofits that are part of Colorado Gives Day there. And again, you can schedule your donations for Colorado Gives Day now so that you don't have to wait. You don't have to worry about reminders, none of that. You just go on, you take care of it now, and it's all set.
And just a quick reminder, you can also go to if you're on Facebook or Instagram, we have accounts on both for Mountain West Gives, where you can see highlights about each nonprofit that is participating and find more information. So on Facebook, we're Mountain West Gives, and Instagram as well, Mountain West Gives.
Again, and the website is mountainwestgives.org. Ladies, nice to meet you. We'll be listening for those kids on the radio, Beth, and I will be looking for a young kid disguise so I can get into the Mythbusters activities at the Aspen Youth Center, Michaela. All the best. Have a wonderful day. And by the way, I did promise I would give you their websites again. Again, the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program website is azyep.org. Aspen Youth Center website, aspenyouthcenter.org. One more time, azyep.org and aspenyouthcenter.org. And again, the big one we talked about today, mountainwestgives.org. All the best. We'll be checking the web traffic on December 8th. And until then, all the best, ladies. Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.